We're in a series on prayer. And we're into scriptures where the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? They had seen the example of the Pharisees who stood on the corners, who would call out and they would pray vocally, pray very loudly, not for the heart of God to hear them, but for people to hear them. And they said to Jesus, who had this incredible relationship with his Father, he would go out and spend all night in prayer. He would seek God. He would hear from God, and then he would move in ministry. So they asked him, Lord, how should we pray? The bottom line answer is not like the Pharisees, but in a real way, in a sincere way, and we've taken it phrase by phrase. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. I brought it to you in the King James, the New King James. I brought it to you in the Passion Version. Let me read it here this morning from the NIV. Read along with whatever version you have. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And last week's message, if you weren't here, was all about how to forgive, how to handle oughts, and how to handle problems that occur, and how to receive forgiveness, how to give forgiveness, and our need to do so. And then verse 13 declares, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, in the NIV, it ends there. In other translations, it continues on to say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And it's not that the NIV was wrong to have left it out. Some believe, many commentaries believe, that that phrase was added, but it was in keeping with the spirit of their understanding of the scriptures and what God was doing in that hour. And so it concludes with, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. King James says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Out of the Passion, again, rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. For you're the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. I want to just talk for a quick moment about what it means to forgive. And I know this ties in with last week's message. For those of you who were here, those of you who might listen to it online, and you can find it online. Thank you, Dan, for being so faithful to do that. It's gracechristiancenter.us. And you can find the messages there. But last week we looked at what it meant to be forgiven. I used an illustration. Some of you may recall the illustration of my mom, who I mentioned as the ice queen. Thank God she got saved and thawed out. And then I talked about my father, who had been a raging alcoholic. And I would wake up at night after he returned at 2 a.m. and he would be striking my mom. And it was a horrendous thing. As that situation, and I blamed myself for their divorce, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to talk to you just really quickly to give you the rest of the story, because God's power is incredible. My mother got saved, absolutely baptized in the Holy Spirit. She served the Lord, and on her deathbed, my brother Brad was there with her as she died at home, and had this ongoing conversation, alive very strongly, with Jesus himself. And Brad said he sat over in the corner and just was amazed as he heard her talking to the Lord, and she even spoke the word of the Lord back to her. It was a powerful thing. But she took the Spirit of the Lord and she wrote a letter 5 years or so before she passed to my dad. They had been together for a long time. Had a very faithful stepfather in my life that I loved a great deal, and he did a lot of training in my life, etc. But 5 years before she passed away, she wrote a letter to my dad where she humbled herself and asked his forgiveness. And you think to yourself, why would she be the one doing that? Because that's how the Spirit of God works, isn't it? So she asked his forgiveness for not being everything she should have been, and for helping to create a lifetime of pain in their lives. And my dad not only wrote her back, but he wrote her back and took 100% responsibility, humbled himself, and sincerely, deeply asked her forgiveness for all that he had caused and all that he created. And the forgiveness and the restoration in their lives by the power of the Spirit of God was remarkable. And on his deathbed, he dramatically gave his life to Jesus and saw him and saw angels as he was ushered into heaven as he passed. I simply wanted you to know there is the rest of the story. How many know God knows how to forgive? Yes. And he teaches us how to do the same. Amen. Let's go on. Lead us not into temptation. Now, the Greek word translated temptation literally means testing. Sometimes God allows people to be tested by temptation, but never without a purpose. There are purposes to the tests. Number one, God refines us. Anybody in this room ever been tested? You ever had a difficult situation? And if you'll embrace the Lord and continue to walk with him, you find that God uses it to change you, right? No matter how much we pray God will change the circumstance, most of the time what he really does is change us in the circumstance. So he refines us and he teaches us and he strengthens us. All Christians struggle with temptation. Our prayer is, Lord, let us not yield to that temptation. We need to realize we still wrestle with sin and we're dependent on God when we get tempted. And the ancient Jewish prayers and possibly the Aramaic wording suggest that this first line literally means, let us not sin when we are tested. Let us not sin. What was Jesus' meaning? We've got temptation. In the Greek, it's parosmos. Can you say that with me? Parosmos. And it means putting to the proof. Putting to the proof. And the experience of evil or solicitation to do evil or discipline or provocation. The devil provokes us. Adversity comes against us. Do not let us be put into the ordeal of testing is another understanding of that Greek phrase. Don't let us be put into that. And what do? We want to pray for deliverance and help when we're tempted so we don't sin. How many pray for help? Lord, I don't want to sin against you. Help me. Yes. Come on, you're quiet. Doesn't anybody pray like that? Yes. Am I the only one in the room who prays like that? Help! Yes. I don't want to fall, Lord. I don't want to go away from you. So we pray that we're not led into temptation, and we pray that we're strong with him when we are tempted. So don't lead me into temptation. Literally, the Greek word there, don't lead. Lead is the Greek word Aispharo, and it means to be carried inward. Don't bring, don't lead. Lord, don't carry me or allow me to be carried into temptation. But deliver us from evil. Literally, that word deliver means the idea of a current, a rushing river or rushing winds, that thing which gets pushed. And the force behind it. Lord, rescue us from the rushing river or winds of the force that wants to take us into temptation. Don't carry me into testing or tempting, but rush me, draw me, deliver me out of it. How many can say amen to that prayer? Deliver me out of it, Lord. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we don't have a high priest who cannot be sympathizing with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, have you ever been in a conversation where you're pouring your heart out to somebody and they say their terrible, difficult circumstance and you don't exactly know what to say, but you look at them and say, I really understand what you're going through. Have you ever had anybody then turn to you and say, no, you don't. Yes. You don't get what I'm going through. And you know, we mean well when we say, I understand. I get it. I get that you're in trouble. But the beauty is, when you're talking it over with Jesus, Jesus looks at you and goes, I get it. Yes. Yeah. I know what you've experienced. That's what the Bible says. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He made the choice. He made the right choice. And so we can come to our high priest and say, oh, Lord, this is tough. I don't want to go this way. Whether it's a character flaw, maybe it's a fudge it a little, maybe it's a little lie, maybe whatever it might be. They give you too much change back in the grocery store. Okay, I won't stay there long. But he was tempted. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. So, Lord, please don't lead me there. Or if I'm there, rush me out of it. rush me out of it. Because why? I don't want to sin. I don't want to break fellowship with you. I don't want to put distance between us. The scripture says your sins, what? Separate you from God. Lord, I don't want that. I don't want to be there. But if I'm there, forgive me, Lord, and restore me, Lord. And I don't want that distance between us. And it's like sometimes Jesus is in the boat on the stormy sea and he's sleeping a good one and we're in turmoil. What do we do? Like the disciples? Help! Wake up, Lord! You ever pray like that? Come on, Lord, wake up! Help us here. Why do we go through tests and temptations? Why? To prove, number one, I'm just going to make a couple of quick points this morning. Number one, say it with me, please. To prove that you can pass. Come on, boom that out. To prove that you can pass. When you were given tests in school, they gave you the tests after the teaching, right? In the 60s, there was a PhD who came up with a concept called mastery learning. It's basically the concept all along anyway of what teaching is, but they tried for the next 20, 25 years to really incorporate this into education. But it became too difficult because what it led to and what it was needed to work with it was individualized instructions. ACE schools, if you've ever had Christian education. My kids' entire grades, kindergarten through high school graduation, were in ACE schools. It was based on mastery learning. You learn the subject, then you're tested on it, and 90% is what it takes to pass. And if you don't pass that, you go back and restudy it again until you master the learning. So Jesus doesn't allow us to be tested beyond, the Bible says, what you can bear. You've had the teaching. The Lord teaches us. He grows us. He helps us. We change. Anybody in this room keep changing? Be more like Jesus? So he changes us, and then the test comes to prove that you can pass, to prove that you're stronger than you think. Turn to each other and say, you're stronger than you think. He doesn't allow a test bigger than you can bear. If you're being tested, and sometimes it's tough. Remember, his hands are around you. Just like Dr. Graham said, Billy Graham said, his loving arms are around you. Remember, your name is inscribed on the palms of his hands. He sees you. He knows you. You're part of him. He's right there with you. He won't let you go. He said it prophetically this morning. He won't let you go. Listen to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Out of the Passion. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He'll screen and filter and the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial that you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity. How many looked forward to tests in school? Just a couple of overachievers here, right? Oh man, bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. I've told you the story before. In the 60s when the Vietnam War was raging, we were in this math class and it was terrible and we had a teacher. It was just almost impossible to understand. And I seemed to have the key of getting him off track when it came test time. Okay, it's time for a quiz. And in the back of the room, I'd raise my hand and go, well, what do you think about what happened this week in the Vietnam War? And he hated the Vietnam War. He'd go on for 45 minutes, and then he'd go, oh, out of time. And everybody's back there, high-fiving, Hunter. Hey, good job. I'm not proud of it. Well, maybe I am. I told you the story. I'm sorry. But we got through. But we don't always look forward to tests, but what we can always look forward to is that Jesus is there in the test. He's there with us. He's there with us. Out of Hebrews 2, verse 18, the New American Standard, since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he's also able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Out of the Passion, he suffered and endured every test and temptation so that he can help us every time we pass through the ordeals of life. Prove that you can pass. But sometimes, and every time, it means when you're going through it, you need to cry out to Him for help. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Now I want to teach a second point, and we all have to face this possibility. Why am I being so tempted and tested? Maybe it's to show you, me, where you need to repent. Listen carefully. I'm not here to condemn anybody. We have all walked these roads. But maybe we opened a wrong door. Come on. Maybe we opened a wrong door. What have you been watching? What have you been listening to? What have you thought about? What have you engaged in conversation with? What have you entertained as temptation? What kind of video games? We wonder why there's no value to human life with the video games that our kids are watching nowadays. It is a blood and gore expose, the movies and all of this. It weakens us and weakens our faith and pornography that's available on computers. And you wonder, why am I so tempted? Bob Mumford, an old Bible teacher, some of you may know him, used to use the illustration of there being a pan. You know, remember the old iron skillets with the handle?
Yeah.
And you got this handle sticking out of you because you opened the door for the devil to shove that pan inside. And when you give yourself to that kind of sin, the devil's just reaching out and he's shaking that handle to beat the band. And we wonder why we're in turmoil. Because we opened the door for the devil to come in and shake us around. All right, so what do? We repent. We ask the Lord to forgive us. We ask Him to cleanse us. James 1, 13 and 14. Don't let anybody say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God can't be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But, verse 14, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Why am I doing this? Now, again, you guys, first one was what? To prove you can pass. Didn't have anything to do with sin. It might not be anything you've done. But secondly, we must entertain the possibility, or at least consider before the Lord, did I open a wrong door here, Lord? Did I do something I shouldn't have? Have I given way for the devil to shake me around? Out of the New Living. And remember, when you're being tempted, don't say God's tempting me. God's never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Verse 14, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. James 1, 16. So my friends, say it with me, would you please? Don't be fooled by your own desires. Oh, come on, real loud. So my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. When it's like that in our Lord, or in our life, please be honest with me, and I will be with you. When it's like that in our lives, you know what we oftentimes do? We turn to God and we say, how come you're letting this happen? And He's saying, son and daughter, I love you so much, but I let you make a choice. And if that's your choice, you need to make another choice now. You need to come to me, repent. Confess and repent. If you confess your sins, a verse written to Christians, by the way, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord, how can you allow this? And He goes, this one's not on me, but I love you. You come on back to me. I will help and deliver you and give you strength. And the next time when it comes up, you'll in your heart go, I love the Lord too much and I know He loves me, so help, Lord. Don't let me go into that. I don't want to go back into that field. What do? Shut the door to the devil. Come on. Shut the door to the devil. Say it with me. Shut the door to the devil. And when you do that, you have victory. James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil. Come on, say it again with me. Resist the devil. One more time. Resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee.
Come on, he will what?
Flee.
One more time. He will flee from you. Wait a minute. Is that all there is? Yeah, for today. You can pursue why sometimes there's a proclivity to sin. Your conditioning, your background, your environment, your culture, your parents, a genetic weakness, a, passed on generational sin could certainly be involved. But Jesus can deliver you and me in every single one of those things. The Bible says, and I want you to boom it out with me, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Come on again. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Now turn to each other and say, let's abound in grace. If you have no temptation facing you today, rejoice. Don't be proud, just rejoice. And remember that you can turn and be in prayer for your brother and sister in Christ who may be facing a different weakness or temptation than you do. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. If you're facing temptation and testing today, He's empowered you, He's empowered me to change by His grace, with His strength and by His mercy. To be forgiven, to be set free, and to walk on out of this place today with the joy of the Lord as our strength. He's the one. Jesus is the one who helps us to pass the tests. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'm here to tell you the good news. And the good news is that Jesus loves you so much. He's here to strengthen you, encourage you, deliver you, and vibrantly give you help and strength in the midst of any turmoil and any temptation. Aren't you glad for that good news? Come on, aren't you glad for the good news? And if you are facing times of temptation and testing and weakness, and you need prayer, there'll be team people who are here that you can come and pray with if you need healing in your body. We stand with you and we love you because God loves you. Even more than we do, God loves you. Amen? Lord, I know that you see every one of us in this place. And Lord, our prayer indeed is reign in me. Come on, can you say that to Jesus? Reign in me, Lord. One more time. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, come reign in us. Captivate our hearts. Establish there your throne. Lord, the heart's desire for each one of us is not to turn aside to the right or to the left, but to obey your word, to walk in it. To walk in it. Keep us from temptation. Don't even let us go into testing. But if we're there, help us, Lord. Because our choice is to walk with you. We love you so much. Now bless each one who's come here today. Let them go strengthened in their faith, knowing that you're right here with us. Bless each one in Jesus' name. For the Lord has given you a future and a hope. Lord, bless them as we go out now in that future and hope in the name of Jesus. And they all said, if you're here this morning and you need strength or healing in your body, come on up for prayer. God bless you. Be released.